Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
And welcome to Adventures in History. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Seaside Hospital, here today with Mac Burns. A very happy new year to you.
Happy. Well, it's only 3 days in, so we'll see if it's happy new year or not.
Oh, well, it's going to be.
If ever there was a year we were glad to shift this calendar, yes. Hindsight's 2020.
How long are you going to use that?
Oh, I saw it on Facebook, so I stole that from somebody. So I don't know who.
But you're going to do it for a while.
It's a pretty good line. Yeah. So, but we are thankful that we've turned the page to a new year, and we have nothing but good hopes and warm wishes to not just you and your family, but to everybody.
Sure. It's a fresh start.
Yeah. To our vast listening audience.
Exactly. Time to start anew.
And unfortunately, we're not off to a fantastic start.
Well,
although this might be good luck.
It's going to be the best show of the year.
It's definitely going to be the best show ever. But it's, you know, we had a guest lined up.
Or two.
And then the guest contacted us and said that they were getting tested for COVID today. And then we had a second guest at the last minute that we asked. And their spouse came home very sick. So they're now in seclusion and getting tested for COVID. So, Megan, it's not like you're walking a tightrope here, but hopefully you're not getting tested for COVID.
No.
So we appreciate so much that literally with hours to spare, you agreed reluctantly. You are in a cast because your arm was twisted.
That's my joy.
To come in. So it's not that you're our third choice, because you would have been on the show eventually.
Yeah, right.
But you've been moved up in the rotation here.
And this time you just had no chance to think about it either. There's like, no was not an option.
Right. Yes. Might be better for me.
All told.
Megan Leatherman, the still relatively new community development director for the city of Astoria. We are so glad that you came in to be our first guest of the year.
Yes, exciting.
Oh, that is exciting. I'm glad to be the first.
It is exciting.
That's a privilege.
So it's going to be a high bar that everyone else is going to have
to
meet for the rest
yep.
of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I really appreciate, because you literally came in with a couple of hours notice. So not that I would hope that our guests really prepare, or that they're nervous or scared or anything.
I think a little bit nervous to be on the radio, for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I just got over it after 10 years.
It could be.
Because I do remember the first radio show way back with Paulette and I, that we had like 5 pages of notes.
You told me about that.
And then we only hit like the top third of one page, yes. And we realized half an hour goes pretty fast.
You've been blessed with some really great co-hosts too.
I am, and the sun is shining.
It's like right
our undisclosed location, hidden yes. location in Clatsop County. The sun is shining right into your face as we're recording
That's
this.
That's okay. I feel it. Feel it shining down on me.
We are all truly blessed. Shall we get to the big history highlights?
Let's do it. I've got some too, maybe.
And I almost decided, because last show we talked about, maybe since this is Sunday night,
yes.
and there's really no time for our audience to pick up on these things and pretend that they're really, really, really smart instead of just really smart, that maybe we should do tomorrow's history highlights.
Oh, but you didn't warn me.
But I did not, because I did not warn you. So this is things that happened on January 3rd.
Okay.
Still.
But maybe next week we'll roll into the
We should ask people to let us know what they think, they would prefer. Because I don't want to get into a whole, like, what happened this whole week.
Right.
So it's got to either be the day that people are listening or tomorrow, so that as you're out at your lunch or your bar or your workplace, you can share these little tidbits.
Lunch, bar, or work.
Well, I don't know where people are going.
They aren't going anywhere right now, so.
They might. Well, that's true. They might be going somewhere, though.
Right.
Okay, so let's get right to it, because Megan, begin to second guess this choice of coming here. Wow, this goes back 1521. I don't usually go back that far. Martin Luther is excommunicated from the Catholic Church.
Yeah. He did something big with that too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just like, wow, the entire Catholic Church is excommunicating me.
Yes.
It seems like very powerful, like a lot of people.
And I'm going to go start something that's very similar but different.
Yes. 1871, and I only included this one because this has been a frequent topic of conversation on the show. Oleomargarine is patented by Henry Bradley in Binghamton, New York.
Interesting.
Oleomargarine.
Yeah.
It comes up frequently in the local newspapers. It's a big scandal in the 1930s.
Oh, because it's not the real thing.
Between the butter manufacturers and oleomargarine. What are you trying to pull on us, this fake stuff?
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm very amused by the articles and all the uproar. So.
Yeah, so butter or margarine person are you? Which one?
Butter, of course.
Okay, good. Yeah,
I didn't even know there was margarine still.
Oh, I don't know. Is there?
I think there's still margarine. I think there's not oleomargarine.
Oh, okay.
There's sorts of things now, it seems like, right?
Now you've brought up the important part of, is there a difference between oleomargarine and margarine?
Oh.
I'm going to have to research this.
Okay.
Because older people actually remember having to mix in like a packet of coloring to make it look yellow.
Oh, wow.
That goes way before my time.
Ooh. Oh, way, way before.
But that way. Oh, she's so nice. Way before. Because my parents actually remember. And that just kind of grosses me out. Oh. That you'd have to add the fake flavor, the fake coloring.
Coloring, right.
Yeah. Okay. 1899, the first known use of the word automobile. It appears in an editorial in the New York Times. Automobile.
And what does that editorial talk about? Yeah.
It's probably how terrible they were.
How they polluted the environment.
Yes. Actually, no. Yeah. It's the reverse. It's going to save all the pollution from horses.
Oh, right.
I have a really long editorial about how horrible horses are.
Oh, fun.
Because of all the manure that's left. And if they die, the bodies are usually just kind of left there because the cleaner guy might not come. Just this whole litany of things. And the way that this story was written, they don't say the word horse. So at first you think it's talking about the automobile, but it's actually the horse. And then it's going to be replaced by this new thing that's going to be so much cleaner and better.
Yeah.
1924, King Tut's sarcophagus is discovered.
I saw that one. That's a good one.
King Tut. That was almost going to be my history highlight of the day because I thought, okay, you know, all the mummy movies and it sparks the imagination around the world of King Tut, and Steve Martin writes a song. So, 1925, Benito Mussolini declares himself dictator of Italy. Oh. As much as people say, oh, he made the trains run on time, I think he's really just kind of a buffoon. of a lot of the dictators, like looking at the list, and maybe someday I'll like make a list of dictators and rank them like my presidential list.
Right.
But he's just kind of a buffoon. So anyway, I'm beating on Mussolini for no reason. 1938, Franklin Roosevelt founds the March of Dimes.
Oh, I didn't realize that he founded it.
Because he was polio.
Right,
he'd gotten polio, even though it was normally a kid thing. He'd gotten it as a young adult.
Yeah.
So it actually had a different name before it switched to March of Dimes.
Okay.
But it seems kind of odd that a sitting president like starts a foundation and fundraising thing.
Yep. It's probably his wife.
Probably. I love Eleanor Roosevelt. Mm. She's fantastic. I should start ranking my first ladies.
Yes.
Because she might be my favorite first lady. She might be ranked number one.
Okay.
1952. Names have been changed to protect the guilty or the innocent. Dragnet premieres on NBC.
This is the city, Los Angeles, California. I work here. I carry a badge.
Oh, fun.
I love Dragnet.
Do you really like old reruns of Dragnet?
Yes, I do.
That makes me laugh. So who's your favorite, Jack Webb or Harry Morgan, the assistant?
No, I like Jack Webb.
Jack Webb. Okay. I like his voice.
Me too.
Did he ever show any like emotion in his voice?
No.
I don't think so either. Mm-mm. All right. 1959. Welcome to the party. Alaska is admitted into the Union.
Okay.
Yay for Alaska.
Yes.
1961, U.S. severs diplomatic relations with Cuba. How dare you become communist?
Right.
And I'm sure it like toppled their government instantly. 1990, Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega surrenders to the U.S. Hmm. 2004, because you know I love the space stuff, the Mars exploration rover Spirit safely lands on the red planet. When are we going to Mars?
Soon, I think.
I don't know.
And would you sign up to go to Mars?
Sure. Yeah.
If it was round trip at some point.
I don't know. I don't know if it needs to be round trip.
Wow. Okay. Maybe you could be the community development director on Mars.
Oh, that'd be so cool. Create a whole new community like that.
Mars community director.
I would love that.
Are you putting your notice in?
Yeah. No.
And would you go to Mars?
Not at all.
See, I would still go to Mars. I would sign up easily for like a 5 or 10 year trip.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't want to go there permanently.
Oh, okay. But so, but for a long extended
But
stay.
Knowing that it takes like a year or two to get there, I'm assuming.
But and you'd have to see my community I created.
That's right.
On Mars. So that's right. You have to visit.
We could do a show about it.
Yeah.
Okay. But our history highlight of the day, the thing that I think had the most impact on history, 1868. Forgive my Japanese friends, I'm going to mispronounce this. The Meiji Restoration begins in an event that heralds the birth of modern Japan. Patriotic samurai from Japan's outlying domains join with anti-shogunate nobles in restoring the emperor to power after 700 years. The impetus for the coup was a fear by many Japanese that the nation's feudal leaders were ill-equipped to resist the threat of foreign domination. Soon after seizing power, the young emperor, Meiji, and his ministers moved the royal court from Kyoto to Tokyo, dismantling feudalism and enacted widespread reforms along Western models. The newly unified Japanese government also set off on a path of rapid industrialization and militarization, building Japan into a major world power by the early 20th century.
Yep.
Japan.
Yeah.
Suddenly a world power.
Yeah. They did a lot quickly, huh?
They kind of did, yeah, 1868. Oh, and then it's not anything that happened today, but since it is this week, January 6, 2012, is Mac Burns Day.
Oh, well, that's wonderful.
In Astoria by mayoral proclamation.
Okay.
We
celebrate Mac Burns, the anniversary of Mac Burns Day every
yes.
year.
So, what okay. mayor did that?
Willis Van Dusen. I just got to put it out there that it's the 9th anniversary. So you don't need to get me presents. You can just make a donation to the Historical Society.
And it's your, yes, I do remember that.
It was funny because people put pictures of me all over the town.
And then, on the first one or always?
On the first one.
First
and,
one.
And then people like wore masks of me.
Yes.
There was like a picture of the Downtown Association. They were all wearing Mac Burns masks.
When I was at the chamber then, and so Skip was involved too, of course. Yes. Yeah, it was a big deal.
And what was funny about it is, you know, they do these things all the time. But for some reason, instead of like you go to city council and today, so the day's already over, the mayor's assistant / the executive assistant to the city manager put it 3 days out.
Oh, interesting.
And I said, why'd you do that? She goes, I just had a feeling. So people went nuts. It was just
it was
very silly.
That's awesome.
So
I love
anyway,
that.
Anyway, that is not the history highlight, throwing it out
a
there.
Big day. The one little sports one you missed though, 1912.
Ooh.
Plans are announced for a new $150,000 Brooklyn Stadium for the Trolley Dodgers baseball team.
Ooh. See, I like baseball. I missed that one.
Yeah, Trolley Dodgers.
Interesting name.
Are you a baseball fan?
I'm not.
Because I thought you were college football.
College football, and she's already mentioned a college football team in this room.
Yeah. Oh,
and I
no.
did decide to stay in the room, but went to the University of Miami.
Oh, good.
So we don't talk about that other team.
That's better
in
than
my household.
Michigan, because Ohio State and Michigan are huge rivals, but Miami is also one of them.
Yes.
Yep, I'm a huge fan of Ohio State and college football, too, so that's great.
Yeah.
So that leads me to my first question. Which is the best college football team?
Ohio State.
The U.
See, we're socially distanced enough, I can cause trouble.
Yes, you can.
And I'm not going to get in the middle of it.
And we have to be safe, so you know,
that's
there's
right.
no tackling involved.
That's right. So, okay. Was there any other? Was that it?
That was it.
Just yeah. the Dodgers.
Yeah. Okay. You hit all the rest of them.
Okay. I'm not a Dodgers fan, but I did appreciate their World Series this year.
Oh.
Because they have a former player from my favorite team that has become an icon for them. So I wished him well and I was happy for him.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
Because I don't just cheer for the team, for the logo, for the shirt, the jersey.
The Trolley Dodgers.
I like the guys who are on the team
well,
sometimes.
Well, sure. Yes.
So. Okay, but Megan, we've wasted enough of your time. So you have been community development director for less than a year?
Yeah, 6 months.
6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you've completely developed the community and you're done.
Yes, you know, and everyone's happy. Everyone, all the residents and my boss. Yep.
So give us your background story first before we get into your current job. Who are you? Where did you come from? We know Ohio. We've heard Ohio, but mm-hmm. tell us more.
Yeah, so I grew up in the suburbs of Columbus, Ohio. And I grew up there with two brothers, so I was the oldest of two. And so I get along well with boys. I know how to do, which is good. I have a son. But then about 2004, after I finished grad school at Ohio State, I moved to Idaho, to Boise, and then stayed there for about 14 years and ended up here. I was really surprised with Boise about how small their football stadium was. That was the thing that really shocked me, because I'm such a huge college football fan, and I came from Ohio, which there's like 130,000 people or something that can fit in that stadium. And then I came here and saw Boise, and I saw Boise Stadium and thought, it's like a high school stadium to me is what it looked like. Anyways, but it has the blue turf, which is, you know, which is really special, and you have to see.
So and you can't mention any sort of comparison to people in Boise, because they take their football probably more serious than our two schools.
They really do. I mean, surprising. I was surprised by that.
It's like there's nothing else in that town. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah. So you would think there'd be other things in Idaho besides football.
Well, Boise. It's just Boise.
Oh, gotcha.
So yes, there are other things in Idaho.
Well, and Boise is an amazing city. It has a river running through it similar to Astoria, and it has a greenbelt along it. Which is one thing I really loved about it. But it also, in Boise, you can get to go to the mountains and ski within like a half an hour as well. So it's like river to mountain. It's there's a lot to do there outdoor-wise, which is one of the reasons I moved to Idaho.
Okay. Okay, but you skipped over. What's your degree in?
Oh, so I have an undergrad degree in environmental pre-law, and then a master's in city and regional planning.
So how did you get interested in those things? I'm fascinated by how people like get into the careers that they're in.
Well, first of all, I was schooled very well by my mother to make sure that I pick something that I had a passion for, because she said, you're going to be doing this your entire life, so make sure you choose a career and invest your dollars for college into something that you're going to enjoy for your whole life. And so I ended up being in undergrad for about 5 years. Not that proud of that, but growing up in Columbus was expanding dramatically. I grew up on the urban fringe, is what they call it. So in the suburbs, but right where it backs up to rural area. And I just saw development occurring over and over again all around me. Now it's a city of 2 million people.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a huge city now. But yeah, just seeing that happen, and I wanted to be a part of it. I remember thinking going down the road, why don't we know about this? You know, why don't the residents know about this? I want to have a say in this development. And those are my thoughts. I remember thinking that way. Plus, I had a passion for the environment. And the more I learned about law and how development works, I realized that if you really want to make an impact and help create the community, you kind of need to be involved in planning to do it. And so that's what got me there.
That's fascinating. Yeah,
that's great.
So what was the reason then from Boise to Astoria?
Well, I had been director for 8 years there, and so it was somewhat of a career decision, but also just, and I looked around at different areas, so there was a time for me to make a career move, and then I just fell in love with this community the times I visited several times, and really just, I don't know, I had a feeling that this was where I was supposed to be. My youngest brother passed away when he was 26, and he was 10 years younger than me, but he actually came here for an internship. And so that was another reason. It was almost like a sign to me that I came and visited because of him, and then my parents did too later after he passed away. And then I just thought, another reason to come here, you know, to be a part of him, what he loved about here too.
So Astoria was not a foreign place to you when you saw this job advertised.
No.
You'd actually visited here. What internship did your brother have? What did he do?
He worked in the Willapa Bay wetland preservation area.
Wow.
In like eradicating weeds. And yeah.
So he too liked the environment. It runs in the family.
No, I wouldn't know, actually, no. He was a mechanical engineer. but that's what he was getting his master's in, at least, when he passed away. But he had a friend that had an aunt that lived in Owako.
Okay.
Which I thought, where are you going? Why are you going there? And so he just ended up going there and staying there with his friend and his friend's aunt. So.
Wow. Wow.
What a small world. Yeah, have you been there? Because, I mean, I'm sure you could find it, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I want to spend more time there, though. Since I've moved here, I haven't been there.
Okay.
I just, it's been so busy I have two kids, and just with the new job and everything, and getting to know Astoria, there's so much to get to know here, mm-hmm. and so many cool things. I mean, it's a small community, but it's not, you right. know? And so there's just so much to explore, and with being, you know, a single mom working full time, and then it's just, I don't have much time to do those things. So I still am exploring Astoria. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't obviously first impressions, but first impressions of Astoria in the eyes of, I might be working here, I might be the community development director. What things jumped out at you during that first visit as you were thinking about this, or your first couple of weeks here?
Okay. Well,
and there are bad impressions, and there's good impressions. There's nothing bad.
The pros, are you, you also can't, the good things or the bad things? Because as a planner, your eyes are always thinking, oh, we could do this, we could do that. But to me also, just to get this on the record, it really matters what the community wants, you know. But as a planner, when you go through a city, you really kind of put your lat lens on. And so there were good and bad things. The things I loved was the uniqueness. The history was preserved, and that I thought I really have a sense, and I really believe that we can make this community be what everyone wants it to be. And I know that that is a really large statement, but I think it just takes the effort that I can see the community has, but also just coming together and making it real and making it unique. And that is the key. Also to economic development is making sure you create something that is unique and real and authentic. And I felt like that's where the city was going just by looking around.
That's something you can get behind, I think, Matt.
I can get behind that. So. Well, you know, people have always commented on, we don't want to be fake like Leavenworth, Washington. And I actually took a trip up there within the past 6 months, and it was charming in its own way. I mean, part of the story of, we were going to reinvent ourselves and how, and we wanted to be an economic thing. I think that kind of works for them. And as long as they don't portray themselves as, this is all normal.
Right.
And this is all just the natural
hundreds
growth,
of years old.
You know, I kind of was okay with, they didn't pretend to be anything, but we created this as a tourist thing and to be charming.
It was lovely. So.
But not for Astoria.
No, I don't, yeah.
I'm not advocating that we become a suddenly like some strange fin town or something. So we have elements of a lot of different cultures and a lot of different time periods, and that's a beautiful, wonderful thing.
Yeah, and that again was one thing I noticed as well, was the diversity of, and I loved this Spurring Wings Park, and you could see that just walking throughout town.
Okay, let's take a little break. We're talking with Megan, and we'll be right back on Adventure in History.
January 10th, 1884, St. Mary's Hospital, Astoria, Oregon. This institution, under care of the Sisters of Charity, is now ready for the reception of patients. Private rooms for the accommodation, if any desire them. Patients admitted at all hours, day or night. No physician has exclusive right, and every patient is free to and has the privilege of employing any physician they prefer.
January 1928, John Ratnan, Taylor. We can't mend your ways, but we can mend your clothes. Find us in the Astoria Hotel building.
And welcome back to An Adventure in History. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Eastside Hospital, here today with Mac Burns, the Clatsop County Historical Director, and we are looking forward. We're not looking backwards.
That's right.
We're looking forward into 2021. Happy New Year. And we're talking about our community here in Astoria. And Megan, thank you for joining us today. A little last minute. Glad you're here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So talk a little bit. You've got two kids, and I'm always concerned when a family moves here that we want to stay for a long time. We don't want you to be a two-year person and quit and leave. So you've come in the middle of COVID. So how has that affected both your family and you trying to do your job? Because once upon a time, you could have gone to all these, the chambers, breakfasts, mm-hmm. and get to know everybody. You could go to a Rotary meeting, quickly get to know everybody. And those kinds of things aren't happening. So talk about the toughness of that.
It has been a challenge. Luckily, there's been a lot of measures put into place where, you know, I can get out to go and walk from businesses to business and introduce myself if the owner happens to be there. I think, you know, I'm going, experiencing a lot of the same struggles that everyone is, personally and professionally. Professionally, I think that one thing that really has diminished because of COVID is just the interface with the public. You know, no one can come in, to the office, and we can't work through applications together as easily, when they're submitted. And so it takes more effort and it's slower and it comes across less transparent, which I just really do not like, because I'm really big on transparency. And I think that's one of the things that's been hard for me, from a work perspective, is not being able to be out there and share my values and explain why I'm here. And, you know, so that I can build that trust, and because it is important. And personally, it's, I think it's just a lot of the same things that everyone else is going through. And sometimes I feel like government employees, people forget that we also are experiencing the same things. But the government has to keep going. You know, the government has to keep going no matter. We don't have a choice. And so putting together, I mean, hasn't been a director for 2.5 years, so there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And then you also have, so we don't have many staff. My department has 3. And when you have one out because of COVID reasons with their family or whatnot, it ends up really making it hard to move the department forward in a positive direction, in a new direction that you need to take it, and to create processes and put them in place when we have people coming and going constantly because of COVID. And me too. And, you know, I lost my grandpa to COVID. But yeah, so I didn't know. Sorry, if we're supposed to be wrapping up. I was looking at you. You're looking at me. I'm not sure. Sorry.
I'm like, ouch. Well, I'm sad about your grandpa.
Oh, yeah. Well, what was the hardest part?
Like, I don't have anything good to say about that. I'm sorry.
Oh, I shouldn't have said anything sad. I think not being able to go there is the hard part.
Yeah, that's
not being
terrible.
Able to go and be there. And I haven't been able to have my dad, who always comes, usually helps me when I move, and he hasn't been able to come because of COVID and things like that.
Yeah, but your son is found camaraderie.
Yes, I mean, this community is absolutely so amazing. I just, the teachers, the superintendent, Hobbs, absolutely doing a fantastic job. And my son, they're still doing, they're still kind of having like a condensed rotation of sports, and he does football. And so he's been able to go, and he also, when they have those sessions, but they also have a workout every morning when school's in session, and he goes to that, and they've been able to pitch in and give him rides. Like if I have a city council meeting, or if I can't be there because of work or something, I mean, and everyone is so willing to lend a helping hand. It's just, it has made it much easier than it could have been. That's great.
Yeah. I was worried knowing you had kids. I thought, how in this COVID, how are they going to make friends? And that's terrible. And you know, they're old enough to know that they've moved. Then are they going to regret and hate? I had friends back home, but so I'm glad that your son's, you know, found some friendship.
And welcome to the good area.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
So we're going to have you back, because this went by way too fast.
But sounds good.
Thanks for coming in on such short notice.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you for coming. Go. Well, the best show yet.
Best show ever. Go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.